You are now entering the spoiler zone. The following podcast contains explicit plot details and pockets of profanity. You have been warned. The Exton Moss Experiment. Adventures in wine and space with Simon Exton and Ken Moss. Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome to another edition of the Exton Moss Experiment. I'm Ken Moss.
I'm Simon Exton.
And this time, we're not watching anything.
But we hope to be watching something at some point soon.
Because this episode is all about missing episodes. Now, why is this, Simon?
Because it's something we're obsessed about. And because at the Utopia Convention, Mr. Phil Morris, who is the Indiana Jones of missing episode recoveries, teased the fact that he knew where six missing episodes were. And then Paul Vanessis chipped in with that he knew where another two were and possibly a third. And if you add in Web of Fear 3, which we know is out there somewhere, but they may not know, that's a total of 10 episodes.
Potentially, yes, because we're getting all sorts of different figures thrown at us. Before we dissect this too far, I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty. Shall we whip out the tonic screwdriver and get a gin?
I think that sounds like a terribly sensible idea.
This time we are drinking Grandad's Allotment Avocado and Lime Gin. That's a great title. It's a 44% gin, and the info bollock says, the small family business behind the fabulous Exeter gin launched as a sister brand named Granny Garbage Gin, based on the founder's grandparents whose grandfather was an avid allotment award-winning grower recognised in World War II for feeding people when there were food shortages. Looking at fruit gins, it was decided to do an allotment range. Grandad certainly would be amazed with today's offerings. Grandad's story began in 1901, where as a young man he was born into a hard-working construction family in the picturesque town of Yarm, North Yorkshire. He was kind, considerate and understated, which was down to years of being subjected to Granny's naughty antics. Ho ho. Grandad's favourite moments were sitting in his beloved allotments with his G&T, an antidote to naughty granny. Bring your taste buds to life with this silky avocado and zesty lime gin. A flavoursome and well-balanced delight, bursting with fresh citrus notes, sweet hibiscus, punchy pimp peppercorns, and buttery avocado. This luxurious, velvety gin provides a refreshing explosion of fresh, zingy flavours. Well, they've certainly gone to town with the info bollocks. Dr. Exton, how does this thing smell?
Slightly ginny.
The first thing I got out of that was Granny's perfume, actually. Anyway, eyes down, dive in.
Ooh. Oh, I see what you mean about Granny's perfume. That's a bit coaty on the clack.
Wow, that just keeps going, doesn't it?
Yes, but not to anywhere particularly pleasant. I'm not a fan.
No, I can't say that I am either. It's quite... Ooh, bitter's the wrong word. I would say more tart or tingent.
Medicinal, with a touch of cheap fragrance squirted on the top.
Oh, I'm really sorry, guys. I am not a fan at all of that.
Yep, sorry, two.
It's a 2 out of 5 from me as well, I'm afraid. It's quite, I don't know the word. It's not bitter, but it is like you've just squirted your tongue with perfume.
Astringent.
Yes. The avocado is there as a temper, I would say, rather than a flavour. The lime isn't as forward as you would think, but that tartness, that sharpness on the tongue is there. It makes your mouth water and your tongue shrivel at the same time. Oh, that's not a pleasant experience, really.
No, I'm afraid I'm not a fan.
It's almost prickly, if you get my meaning.
No, I think medicinal and perfumed.
Sorry, guys. Nice try.
No, it wasn't a nice try. It was horrible.
They've had a go at it.
Yes, and they had a bad go at it. Try harder next time. He's the nice one, by the way.
Apparently.
In case you hadn't realised.
Well, we've chosen Grandad's Allotment Gin because it was, as Simon put it, one of the bizarrest places that a Doctor Who episode might turn up. They have turned up in more unlikely places.
Go on. do the Mormon church in a Deborah Watling style.
Toucans of Doctor Who turned up in a Mormon church. Wide eyes to camera, off my tits. Am I being too cruel? What the hell was she smoking before that documentary?
I think she was pissed. Every convention I ever saw her at, she basically had to be carried to the carried to the floor, carried to the stage. Now, don't get me wrong, once she was there, consummate professional and wildly, wildly entertaining, but obviously bladdered out of her skull. And you know what? She enjoyed it. Good luck to her.
But this episode has been triggered by an article in the Daily Mirror, which was printed on the 9th of June, 2023, with the headline, "More Lost Doctor Who Episodes Uncovered in Global Hunt by Filmworld's Indiana Jones." Archive TV hunter Philip Morris has revealed he knows of 4 missing episodes that exist in private hands in the UK, plus another 2 that he's tracked down overseas. His new finds of as-yet-unspecified stories came as Paul Vanessis, who helps restore old episodes for Blu-ray releases by the BBC, confirmed he knew of a further 2 episodes existing, with the possibility of a 3rd. Now, Paul Vanessis previously has said that he knows of 6 in private hands, so even at a conservative count, that's 2 more, with a possible 3 that we didn't know about before. I'm really hoping that this is milking the cow for all it's worth in the anniversary year, and they have actually got them back. They're just making the most of it.
Okay, well, we have 3 things to talk about, and let's talk about the most certain thing, i.e. Phil Morris, Paul Vanessis thing last, because we can be very speculative about that. But there are 2 other recent potential sources of missing episodes. The first is the Australia Hall. Do you know about that? So thousands of off-air videos from the early 70s in Australia have been uncovered and have been sent to a university media department to check through them. And there could be all sorts of stuff on there. And I don't know whether Doctor Who was being shown in Australia in the early 70s, but there has to be a good chance that at least season 6 was in there. So it's possible of off-air space pirates, or although we already have an off-air space pirates, don't we?
I think episode 2, annoyingly.
Yeah. Yes, I remember when it was recovered, because I was quite an enthusiastic reader of the missing episodes board until it became ego-central and a description of every 3 seconds that was found on YouTube.
Have you ever actually seen it? Or bits of it?
Well, Space Pirates.
No, you know the off-air one? Because I've never even thought about it until now.
No, it was Steve Roberts who tracked it down. All he knew was that the tape said Doctor Who, episode 2. And it came from sometime in 1969, which meant that it was never going to be a missing episode.
That's true, yes.
Because there isn't a missing episode 2 from season 6.
No, there isn't. But how exciting. Off air from 1969.
Yeah, and he was not so much bemoaning, but recognising the irony of the fact that the only off-air recording they have of Doctor Who from the 1960s is the single surviving episode of a missing story.
Yeah, well,
but
yes.
Anyway, so moving on from that, there's the Australian hoard, and apparently there's thousands of tapes to go through, so it'll be quite a while before we know what, if anything, is in there. There is the Burnett estate. So Terry Burnett was a BBC engineer who rescued a number of returned film cans that were due for being skipped. And that's where the surviving episode of Galaxy 4 and the recovery of episode 2 of The Underwater Menace came from. But he wasn't particularly interested in Doctor Who himself, so he might have just grabbed cans at random. Now, the thought is that this came from a large batch of films that were returned from Australia in June 1975. And it's believed that quite a number of the one-off episodes that have turned up in private collections have come from this. Now, Mr. Burnett's film collection apparently filled 2 transit vans and was largely unlabeled. So there could be anything in there. And if we make the assumption that any other surviving episodes in there may have come from that June 1975 recovery, the missing stories that were in there are, have you got your ears pinned back?
Race.
Galaxy 4, The Mythmakers, The Smugglers, The Tenth Planet, The Power of the Daleks, The Underwater Menace, The Moonbase, The Faceless Ones, The Evil of the Daleks, The Abominable Snowmen, The Ice Warriors, The Web of Fear, The Invasion, The Space Pirates.
Now, I'm going to be really selfish about my pickiness here, but I would like, in all honesty, any returned episodes to make up a full story.
In principle, I agree. But if you offer me any single episode of Power of the Daleks as a choice, then that's going to go right top of the list.
True. And how bad would that be, though? If you got any of the Power of the Daleks back, which I've got to admit is top of my list, you'd just yearn for the rest of them even more.
I'm not sure I could yearn for the return of Power of the Daleks even more, frankly.
No, if you were given one out of six.
Then I'd go, happy days. I have one more episode than I did yesterday. I'm very glasses half full when it comes to episode recoveries.
I'm just happy to get anything back, like you. I mean, neither of us, I think. In fact, nobody in the fan world would have wished for, was it 2011 when Airlock and Underwater Menace 2 came back? I don't think they'd have been top of anybody's tree for missing episode wish lists. But on the flip side of that, it gave us chance to reappraise both of those stories. I still think Galaxy 4 is dull as shit, but I don't, and I've never thought, to be quite honest, Underwater Menace is dull.
I really rather like Underwater Menace. Now, in part, it's because it's got my favourite companions and my favourite Doctor in. But if you look at it as a campy Flash Gordon type runabout, it's really good fun. And episode 2 shows that a lot more than episode 3. Episode 3, there's the whole underwater ballet thing, which just looks a little bit laughable. But that's because we've watched it over and over and over again and can rip it to pieces. It was meant to be watched once.
True. And, well, it's like Enemy of the World 3. It's completely out of context. And anything out of context is never going to look at its best.
I don't know. Abominable Snowmen. The surviving episode of that looks really good.
It does, but it's never particularly gripped me. Now, I know that the story as a whole is one of your favourites.
Yes, but that's because you're a Philistine.
It isn't. It's just that I've never... I'll be quite honest. It's just one of those I've listened to once, possibly twice over the years, and never been particularly gripped by. So it's just sat there unloved.
As I say, a Philistine.
I have been proved wrong on occasion, leaving things sit on the shelf for the myth makers, although I've never been wrong about the Smugglers. Oh, the Smugglers is quite high up on my list of ones to get back.
We won't know what's in the Burnett Estate for a while. We won't know what's in the Australia Hall for a long time. So let's come back to the Utopia revelations.
Well, Paul Venesis, so, I'm going to start with him. He's widely trusted, I think, as a... So when he says something, it is widely believed. Because he does tend to back it up with facts. I think the only time that I've ever heard him backtrack was on what was potentially in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone, for those that don't know, is a transmission station that was believed to have been destroyed in a civil war in 1999. And the rumours were, and do persist, that vast tracts of the first and second season, and I think bits of 3 and 4, were in that when it was destroyed.
I think it was all of Hartnell Bar Master Plan.
Now, this has been a very, very sore subject among Doctor Who fans for quite a few years since it was discovered. In the intervening years, certain facts have been debunked about what is likely to have been in there, which building was actually destroyed, and whether or not it actually contained any cans of Doctor Who film. So there is a glimmer of hope there. But getting back to Paul Venesis, it's the only time I've ever heard him backtrack, because he found paperwork that categorically stated that film cans in there were returned in 1975, and he thought they were still there in 1999. And that's about the only time I've heard him backtrack. But every other time he has been, it's not just been speculation, it's been, this is why I think this, and here's the facts to prove it. Philip Morris tends to dangle the carrot a bit more. He's ridden on his own coattails following his success, 10 years ago. He returned 9 missing episodes, and I would never take that away from the man. We were eternally grateful for that. But he has not always been exemplary in the meantime. So I'm taking this less with a pinch of salt, because he's done it right in front of Paul Venesis, and there's an element of collusion there, I think. But just bring the fucking cans back, mate. You've done your teasing.
Right. Okay. So first thing about that, he may not actually have them and may still be in the process of negotiating their return, particularly with collectors. So I'm going to put forward three fairly wild, but possibly not unreasonable assumptions.
Okay.
So he has said that there are two episodes in a foreign archive. Based on the assumption that a foreign archive is unlikely to have anything less than a full story, everything that's come back from a foreign archive, so Tomb of the Cybermen, War Machines, Time Meddler, Web of Fear before that episode disappeared, and Enemy of the World, all of those were full stories. So if there's two episodes sitting in a foreign archive, it's possibly not an unreasonable assumption to think that's two episodes that are the two missing episodes of a partly complete story.
Good point.
So that would leave us with stories that have only two missing episodes: Reign of Terror, Crusades, Underwater Menace, Moonbase, Ice Warriors, Invasion. I don't think there are any others, are there?
Not off the top of my head. And frankly, I would be happy with any of those. Well, I'd be happy with any of those.
Oh, I'd love Moonbase. I would absolutely love Moonbase.
I think Crusade for me, or possibly Reign of Terror, but I know that I've always been more fond of the historicals than you have.
Right. So I'm going to make two wider assumptions that are kind of linked. And that's about the fact that this whole story has come about following on from the talk about Paul Vanessis and preparing the Blu-ray range. And there's already been a Blu-ray of season two. I think if there were a realistic possibility of the Crusade coming back, they would move heaven and earth to do that before the Blu-ray release of season two.
True.
So I'm kind of mentally crossing the Crusade off my list, although I'm with you, I would love to see it. Realistically, the Blu-rays that could come out for 60s are seasons one and season six. They're the only ones that are predominantly complete. Mm. Even season five is not much over half complete. Season one would be the perfect 60th anniversary Blu-ray release.
Oh, wouldn't it?
And if this is all pre-publicity for episodes that are going to be included on the season one Blu-ray release, and bear in mind they can't release the Blu-ray with surprise episodes because they all have to go through the film censors, and those censor decisions are public knowledge. So as soon as those censor decisions are released, then you know what's going to be on the disc. You know what episodes are going to be on the disc. So it can't be a release on the day, oh, by the way, Marco Polo's on here as well. So I think at least one of the episodes they're talking about could be a season one episode.
That's not a bad working hypothesis.
It could be bollocks. The whole thing we know from the 40-odd years of search for missing episodes is that you can't guess when they're going to turn up. You can't guess where they're going to turn up, and you can't guess what's going to turn up, because on paper, the ones that should never have turned up are Dalek Master Plan. We've got three of them.
Oh, it's true. And the one that will completely blow that out of the water is Dalek's Master Plan 7, which apparently was never tele-recorded and never tele-synced for sales abroad. However, and I'm just going to sidestep a minute and talk about this. In Richard Molesworth's excellent book, Wiped, he has got the exact day when Dalek's Master Plan was telecinied for sales abroad. And all of the episodes are listed for being telecinied. Now, you're not telling me that unless there's explicit paperwork, episode 7 was missed out. They would have just done the whole thing.
Yeah, it's do me the story, get on with it.
Yeah. So I am not convinced, and I know other people have said that they're not convinced, that it's not beyond the bounds of reasonability that it was actually duplicated at some point. But that is,
yes, I agree,
the very least likely episode to turn up. If that turns up, it will blow everything out of the water.
Yeah. I mean, with that logic, it's very likely that it was tele-recorded. However, it was never made available for foreign sales. It wasn't sent to Australia.
Mm.
And I think that was the only print that was struck, wasn't it? The one that went to Australia and came back.
I think so.
And three episodes of that have come back. Now, that wasn't part of that June 1975 return, that there is the assumption that quite a number of the returned orphaned episodes from collectors came from. And, you know, the list in there is great. I'd love to see Power of the Daleks, obviously. But I'd love to see the missing episodes of Moonbase. I'd love to see Smugglers. I'd love to see Spice Pirates, given that I have a chance. I'd even love to see the rest of Galaxy 4.
Yes. Oh, Space Pirates, I would love to see. I've got a real soft spot for that, you know.
I would even like to see a missing episode from Celestial Toymaker. And I think that's dull as shit.
Yeah, it's fairly bad. It's languishing at the bottom of my Hartnell pile along. In fact, I think it's languishing at the bottom of my whole Doctor Who pile along with Galaxy 4, possibly Gunfighters in there as well. What's bottom of your pile?
What do I think is the shittest Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Celestial Toymaker is in there. Twin Dilemma is in there. Megloss is in there. Oh, my. Because Joe Ford is such a wild fan of Megloss. And I listen to what Joe says a lot. And he has changed my mind on a lot of stories. I watched Megloss because he was, I think it was Nathan he did his commentary with, but they were so wildly enthusiastic and it's fucking awful. Even Underworld is better.
We'll park that there. There's enough vitriol.
Yes, and this is supposed to be a very positive episode about what we may see again. Not, oh, fuck, I would even see this dog shit.
So, all right, spinning that on its head. Right, we've both been quite out in the open. Power of the Daleks, top of the list. Your second top story that you would like to see completed?
Oh, now my head says Master Plan because that would bring back another 10 episodes.
Nine. Well, yeah, technically.
Ten including Mission to the Unknown. I'm actually going to say Macroterror.
Really?
I'd love to see the Macroterror.
Is this because of how good the animation was?
No, it's because of how fun the soundtrack is. Can you imagine the live version of Troughton in the refreshing room? Yeah. It would just be joyous.
Do you mean the scene that was cut out because it was too difficult to do?
Still, yes, that would be the one.
About that.
It's really Ben Swanstone. It's where he's given most to do. And it's a good, strong story for Polly.
Yeah, that's true.
Your second?
Again, I think it probably would be Master Plan. I've got a massive soft spot for it. On the other hand, you've got other things which are all vying for third place. Massacre, Marco Polo, Smugglers.
Mythmakers.
It's good, and I really, really enjoyed it when we did it for our other podcast, but Massacre is right up there.
Is that just because so little of it exists?
No. First and foremost, it was the very first missing episodes release that they did. So maybe that's got something to do with it. Prior to that, you'd had a CD of The Crusade along with a lovely VHS box set. So that whetted my appetite. But the very first proper missing release that they did was The Massacre. And I was completely hooked. It's riddled with flaws. And it's only really 3.5 episodes long.
And we saw Catherine de' Medici in
Knight Errant. Who we both recognised from one still of a story that has no visual material whatsoever.
One still and a voice.
I've got to say, in all honesty, for all that guff, Master Plan will be my second, largely because I just adore it and listen to it every year. But I think your speculation about... You see, you've gone through there very, very logically and probably far more coherently than I'd thought about previously which episodes you think it's likely to be. And it's quite difficult to disagree with that because they have always turned up in batches of complete stories. The only ones that have been found orphaned are in the UK or Australia, wasn't it? Was it Australia or New Zealand?
Yeah. New Zealand was where Crusade came back from. I don't think that's an unreasonable assumption for a foreign broadcaster. I can see them having something on their shelves that was potentially transmittable and they just have ignored for the last however many years because I know how corporations work. What I can't see is them having something on their shelves that's not potentially transmittable, so it isn't a complete story. Two episodes in a foreign archive is likely to be the two missing episodes that complete a story.
And working on the same logic, we're just assuming that the ones that we've been told are in private collections that are missing episodes are just on their own.
It's been made clear that they're in private collections, not private collections. So it's not four episodes in a collection, which could realistically be a story. It's four different episodes in a number of different collections, whether that's two different collections or four. But it would be a big stretch to think that these collections who have sourced their episodes from wherever happen to have sourced the ones that just go together to complete a story. Now, it might be that one of the episodes is 10th Planet 4, which would complete a story.
Wouldn't it be lovely, though, if the number dropped below 90 in the 60th anniversary year?
Please, Ian, Please, please, please.
Well, I can only assume that at some point under his breath he said, there will always be 97 missing episodes. And immediately...
Bing! The missing episode fairy.
The Ampex god has leaned down with his thunderbolt and magicked 9 episodes into existence. God bless the man.
And the other thing is, there have been episodes of all sorts of things that have been known to exist in collections for a long, long time until the BBC started negotiating to get them back for DVD release. So A for Andromeda was like that. The surviving episode was known to exist in a private collection way back to when I was first a Telefantasy fan in the mid-80s. And because it didn't profit the BBC anything at all to track it down, because it would have just sat in their archive, they didn't do anything about it. I mean, presumably they said, could we have it back? And the collector said no. And I said, oh, okay, then we're not that fussed. But when they came to do the DVD release, that will have ramped up a bit of a gear and they will have gone and negotiated something.
It seems curious that it's in the 60th anniversary year that all this news is broken.
Oh, I think it's been hanging around for ages.
Well, partly.
I think this has been known about for a while. Philip Morris has always had a big, big chip on his shoulder about Chris Chibnall. Difficult to disagree with. But with the end of the Chibnall era, it may feel that he's more prepared to engage with mainstream Doctor Who.
Partly. But also my train of thought was along the lines of new producer, yes, that was in there, because I know that he wasn't happy with Moffat, and I can only assume he wasn't happy with Chibnall. He's never, to my knowledge, said it, but it does make sense.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he has. I think he was very, very much the not a female doctor contingent. And the other thing is, it's getting over 10 years since Nigeria. He's not going to have been sitting on his hands. He will have been looking in other archives. He's found the Steptoe and Son stuff. He found the Morecambe and Wise stuff. He will not have given up the search.
Oh, no, that wasn't what I was going to say. It was more that I know that there's been at least 6 episodes in private hands that Paul Vanessis has known about and that they would not release. Now, there's obviously some gentleman's agreement that he wouldn't push them or he wouldn't reveal who they were or what they were. And perhaps 60th anniversary year, perhaps Russell T. Davis, perhaps Disney. Look, here's a fuck ton of money. We want them back. There you go. Possibly.
Would you like me to drop a little extra speculation into that?
Oh, please do.
So what we know that Mr. Vanessis has said, 2 episodes, possibly 3 in private hands. And he's previously said, I think he's previously said 5 or 6.
Yes.
So that's a 3 episode discrepancy. There is nothing that anybody has said that doesn't say those 3 episodes have already been returned.
That is very true.
So it might be that 5 to 6 has dropped to 2 to 3 because 3 of them are safely back in the archive and nobody's mentioning that.
There does tend to be, despite all the dissecting that Doctor Who fans do, there do tend to be an awful lot of things that are hiding in plain sight. And that is the
one thing. And actually,
Paul
Vanessis is very good at that.
Oh, he is. He's brilliant. And it does surprise me. Manny, having said that, I don't look at message boards or anything anymore. But it does surprise me there's not been more hoo-ha about that discrepancy because he's always, for a while now, said, I'm sure the figure's 6 that have been in private hands. If that has now dropped to 2, oh, potentially 3. Well, he's been concrete about 6. He definitely knows of 2 and potentially 3. That's 4, let's say. Gosh, we are drilling deep here. But fuck it, let's run with it. So, 4 missing episodes. Which one of the ones, is it Smugglers or Savages that they've said they're going to animate? I think it's Smugglers, isn't it? There's 2 more we're getting this year. I think it's Smugglers.
Smugglers is a much more visual story than Savages.
Correct, yes.
The 3 stories that I've heard rumours about within the last couple of years, Marco Polo, but we're always hearing rumours about Marco Polo. But right back at the time that the Nigeria finds were coming out, Marco Polo was the 3rd story that people were talking about. Now, how much of that is wishful thinking and it being high up on people's request lists? But the other 2 stories that I've heard recent rumours about are the Savages and the Smugglers, and neither of them have ever been particularly high on the radar.
No, but it would make sense because the shorter stories, Marco Polo is probably, to be quite honest, one of the most likely to turn up because there were so many copies of it made. I'm quite surprised that it hasn't already, to be honest. And I am bitterly disappointed because I love it. I know you don't. But one of my favourite ever missing episode rumours that was in the Mirror or something, or some tabloid, that off-air copies had been found that somebody had recorded on a cine camera. Now, in those days, in those days, a cine camera reel was 4 minutes. So that means
and
somebody had
expensive.
56 reels immaculately timed, not to miss a single frame. And having done cine film transfers in the past, you have to get the frame rate right with the camera. Film and TV signals do not mix very well at all.
Unless you're John Cura.
Well, he was taking snaps. If you're talking about an actual cine film, that would be a nightmare to clean up.
There's talk about how later in his career, he did some experimental cine film as well. And it all ended up on the bonfire because the BBC didn't want it.
Oh, I remember that. His wife offered him the archive and they turned it down. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, they said we're interested in the future, not the past.
It's easy to criticise, but if there's no commercial value in something, why would they? And in those days, TV in its infancy, it's like me and you. We've written a Word document, a first draft of something. Right, well, there's a better draft. We'll delete the first draft. We're not interested. It's in the past. And who knows, in 50 years' time, when me and you are dead and gone and famous as historical podcasters, we want to know everything about them. Oh, if only we'd had that first draft of that document that he wrote for a thesis.
I keep every draft of everything I've ever written.
Oh, you're as bad as I am. I was rather hoping you were going to say that you didn't.
That's blown your argument out of the water. No, I lost an entire chapter of my PhD thesis through a computer virus, and it had taken me about a month to write, and it was just wiped out. And ever since then, every single thing I write, I keep my drafts. So probably the only significant thing I've written that I haven't kept my drafts for is my master's degree dissertation and crap that I wrote for my first degree.
Because we have lost a little bit of Exton Moss, but thankfully...
Yeah, but that's your fault for fucking up the recording.
That was my fault for not making duplicates, which now I make duplicates of everything. Thankfully, a lot of the stuff that we lost wasn't actually usable. 4 tonic screwdrivers that can't be recovered, and at least 3 of the Exton Moss episodes were unusable because the wrong microphone was connected. But I do level a lot of my obsessive archiving at being a Doctor Who fan. Because everything's given a production code, everything is archived to the nth degree, and every rough draft of everything is kept. It's Doctor Who that's done that to me.
So bottom line, with everything that is potentially happening, I suspect the Paul Vanessis, Philip Morris is part of the start of the ramp up towards the 60th. And I think there will be more information teased out, possibly at other conventions.
Well, as my final thought, one of the things that's turned up, certainly within the past 12 months, is that for the 50th anniversary, there was talk of colorizing An Unearthly Child, the entire first story. And it didn't happen because the people that would have been working on it were too busy working on The Mind of Evil for the DVD release. So there's been a flurry of interest in colorized stuff. I think this year would be the year to launch it. Behind the scenes, because there's a lot of stuff that I think that is being planned for October, November, December that we have no idea about yet. And we're going to be blown away, frankly.
Absolutely. And it's very noticeable that the Doctor Who colorization to semi-professionals who were previously very vocal now aren't.
I'm taking that as the same sign. And all to the good, I think.
Getting back to the missing episodes, the thing that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. I think we can have no idea what's going to be in either the Australia Hall or the Burnett Estate, with the proviso that later 60s stuff is more likely than earlier 60s stuff for the Australia thing, because it apparently it dates back to 1970. And we already know that Terry Burnett had at least 2 things that we assume are from that June 1975 Australia return. So it may be that other things that he has are from that Australia return. But there's a choice of 47 missing episodes from that list. I may have been geeky enough to count. And then we've got somewhere between 9 and 13 that the Phil Morris, Paul Vanessis thing is discussing.
But as we both know, there will always be 97 missing episodes of Doctor Who. This is June 2023. Boys and girls, we're going to sign off now with hope in our heart that by November 2023, that number will be quite considerably lower. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We hope you've enjoyed our ramblings, our speculation, our sheer joy of being Doctor Who fans. We'll be back soon with something else.
Bye now.
The Exton-Moss experiment featured Simon Exton and Ken Moss. All featured soundtracks are the property of their respective producers, and no infringement of copyright is intended. Title music was performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and the programme was produced by Maverick Productions. For more information, please visit maverickproductionsuk.blogspot.com or find us on social media.